Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we think about what an awesome God you are. The love that you show us each and every day, we're so undeserving. And Lord, we think about not only the sacrifice that you gave us, but the fact that you gave to us the Holy Spirit to guide us, the Word of God to guide us, and that you gave us each other, Lord, that we can spend time with one another and encourage one another to live like you want us to live. It's so easy, Lord, for us to fall into our own selfishness and our own selfish desires, but Lord, we need you. None of us are any different from one another. We all struggle, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us be there for one another, as is our discussion today in one sense, but also, Lord, that you give us hearts of generosity. Lord, give me the words to say today, for I'm but a man. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today, we're going to be talking about generosity. Generosity. And so far, we've been discussing different aspects of the Christian life. We've talked about perseverance in the faith. We've talked about living honestly, being an honest people. We talked about God's will for us and making decisions. And today, as stated, we're going to be talking about generosity. And the reason is money and possessions are a major issue in life. They really are, whether we like to admit it or not. It can cause a lot of strain on relationships. It can cause strain on our marriages. And it caused strain between us and our Heavenly Father. And we don't think about that sometimes, but it can, because the Bible has one way to think about money and material possessions, and we have another way of thinking, for sure. And sometimes they do not line up with each other. And so that is what we're going to talk about today. We're very blessed in the fact that we have the Word of God, by the way, to show us these things, because we would never think about it on our own. We definitely would not. And this works into our minds as a topic that some people are scared to even talk about. But we must remember that God has given us advice, and he does it for a reason. And when God does something, it is always for his own personal glory, but it is also to bless his children and to give us peace. You know, even creation itself, it is ultimately to give God glory, give the Son, Jesus Christ, glory. But you cannot tell me, looking at a beautiful sunset and all the beautiful green trees and falls coming up, not that death is beautiful, but we see the leaves changing, right, in their color, and it's beautiful, isn't it? God gives us these things to give us joy and to give us peace, but yet it still points to him. That is true with everything in life, and the Christian should not lose sight of that. We should focus on the fact that if God has a opinion and command, actually, in regards to our generosity, we should take heed to it. You know, there's an illustration. You know, pastors are no different. We think about things, and most of you know me personally and know that this is an issue. You know, I'd like a Camaro. That's just the way it is. But I also like a new truck. I'd like a new motorcycle and, you know, a nice swimming pool, indoor, though, for the winter months, you know, a jacuzzi and a big screen TV above the fireplace. Ours is electric. I'd like a real stone one, you know, like Tim and Heidi's. You know, we could go off this list. You know, human beings are, that's just the way we are. We always want something more, and pastors are no different. And but I love this illustration in regards to three pastors and how they view their income from the church. One said, I draw a circle on the floor, and then I take all of the offering money, and I throw it up in the air. Whatever lands inside of the circle is mine, you know, mine to keep. And whatever is outside the circle, that's the Lord's. That's what he wants. The other pastor goes, I also draw a circle on the floor, and I take the offering money, and I, I throw it up in the air, and whatever lands on the outside of the circle, I take, and then whatever on the inside is the Lord's. And then the third pastor says, you know, I also draw a circle on the floor, but and I also throw the money up in the air. And whatever God wants, he keeps. Okay? And so pastors are no different. Now, I don't do that with your offering money. I don't even know what you guys give, and I don't want to know. But I thought that was a funny illustration. But it made me think how odd that would be if that really took place, right? But it's really not that odd because we all do it. We just don't draw the circle in the floor. We have this paycheck, let's say, that has been given to us, and we don't even throw that up in the air, nothing. This is mine. This is all mine. And we forget that Almighty God is who He is, the one who has blessed us with that. And unfortunately, humans have the mentality of mine, mine, mine. Okay? I worked for it. I deserve it. That's true. We did work for it. We did earn it. And we don't like to give our tax dollars, right, away to the government. We want to hold on to every penny we can. And that in and of itself is not something that is evil. But God wants us to view money in a very certain way, but it's beyond money. Money, by the way, is not really the main topic of the day. I know some of you might have been shifting in your seats thinking I was going to talk about tithing or something like that. I'm not. What I'm going to talk about is the heart of the believer. You know, at Billings Bible Church, we believe in grace giving. We believe that tithing is an Old Testament principle. I think it's one that should be looked at. But it is not a command in Scripture to give 10% of your income. Jesus Christ came, He fulfilled the law, right? But that being said, does that mean since He fulfilled the law that it's okay to commit adultery? No. There's still commands that are given to us that are life principles that we, not life principles, they're God principles that we should live by. So obviously it doesn't take away some of God's commandments. But tithing is one of those things that is a good principle. And I said I wasn't going to talk about it, and here I'm talking about it. Just so you know, we believe in grace giving. Out of your abundance, out of a joyful spirit, you should give. And if God calls you to give 10%, that's fine. But He might not call you to do that. But what we're talking about is that heart. The heart of grace giving goes beyond putting money in an offering plate. It's about helping those around us too. It's about recognizing that there are other individuals that have needs. So it's about our generosity as a Christian. Maybe that is to help a church out. Maybe that's to your neighbor is in need and they need some groceries or some sort of financial help. Maybe you're helping someone in your family. I've known Christian individuals who didn't give to the church, but they gave to their family member. Now, I do believe there should be a split there. But that sort of heart is what we want. We want the sort of heart that is there, available to help those that are around us, if it is for the cause of Jesus Christ. That is why we help people. That is why we help other individuals. It's not to get a pat on the back or get a tax receipt at the end of the year. We do it because we want to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. And sometimes that neighbor, if they're unsaved, we help them because we want them to understand how to get to heaven. That's why we help them. We don't want them to spend eternity in hell. And if they happen to be a believer that's just down right now, maybe they lost their job or something, God's using us to encourage them and strengthen their faith in their Savior, that promise He would take care of their needs. These are the reasons we give. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Like all aspects in our Christian life, it is directing our focus on the things of God. That is what helps us succeed. Our mind always points to God. And when we do that, this will also help us in our generosity, as well as the other topics we've talked about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, we'll start with. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now we could stop right there, but just listen to those words, right? But godliness, that's your holy living, living in a holy way with contentment, being content. Now all of you here are 100% content, right, in your daily lives? But godliness with contentment is great gain. This is something that makes a huge difference in the believer's life. For if we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." We talked about some of those things in Sunday school this morning. But I'd like us to focus on a couple negative things in this text. Notice the person who desires after the love of money, this love of money more than the love of God. It says in verse 9, "But they that will be rich," this is what they coveted after. This is their desire. Every human being has at some point fallen into this category. And maybe you're there today. You're just focused on the next best thing. What can happen in my life? What can I do with my portfolio to advance myself? What can I do to make it easier for retirement and all these things? Not bad things to think about, obviously, right? We want to take care of our needs, take care of our household. The Bible commands us to do that. But it is this extra desire, following after, trying to be rich in this particular context of this scripture. If you're an individual who desires that and you're doing everything you can to make as much money as you can, may I say to you, you probably have lost your focus as a believer of what is really important in this life. We don't like to hear that. But that is because our focus is not on God like it should be. We all want to do well. But look what happens, or could happen. Look at what could happen if we reach that place of being, you know, rich, famous, whatever you might be thinking of. Look at this in verse 9. "Rich fall into temptation and a snare." This could happen to you. "And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Why? People who have excess, it's a lot easier for them to fall into different lustful behaviors. And it's easy for them to, I'll use the coin the phrase, enjoy life. I want to enjoy life, don't you? Well, but we can enjoy life in Christ. But we try to enjoy life like the world does. So our social environment changes. This person that we're hanging with might have a different temptation, and it could help. Maybe we fall into that. We feel safe. People who have a lot of money in some cases feel safe for a little bit. They feel like, you know what, I can afford to do this, not a big deal. But notice another thing. How many of you have ever worried about money? before. Right? Now, don't think for a minute that rich people don't worry about money. They worry too. They're worried they're going to lose it. They want it, and they're scared they're going to lose it. They worry too. And let me tell you, whether you're rich or poor, worry is a sin. We're going to talk about that. We are to live by faith as believers, not fear. And so what is our focus? We are to, rather than pursue the riches of the world, we are to pursue godliness. We are here for just a very short time. And God wants to use us for His glory. Remember, we are to mirror God's image in our day-to-day lives. And to mirror Christ is directly related to our generosity as a people. And generosity, as stated, is not just money. It's not just possessions. Did you know generosity can also be a ear? Just taking the time to listen to somebody? That's being generous. Because we don't like to hear about problems. I mean, some of you might like Jerry Springer, but I don't like to watch it. Okay? Too stressful. But I'm okay with listening to somebody if they have an issue. Why? Because I want them to get over that. I want them to be encouraged in their Christian life. So being generous is much more than financial. A lot of it is time. A kind word. An encouraging card or phone call. That's being generous. That's showing that sort of heart. And one of the most important things we can do to be more generous, to be able to succeed in that area, is to replace our fear with faith. Don't write that down, okay? Replace our fear, which is sin, with faith, okay? Simply put, many people who don't help others are holding back because they fear what tomorrow brings. Rightly so, they know that they have their own bills to pay, their own groceries to buy for their family. They have their own time, which is precious. And even when you take it to the level of listening to someone, just giving them an ear to listen to their issues, we have a fear sometimes, if I listen to their problems, then I'm going to feel obligated to help them. So I'd rather not know. Okay? And so we also live lives of fear in that aspect. That is not how a Christian is to live. We have the power of God within us. We have the promises of God. And I truly believe this, that fear takes the place of faith way too much in our Christian lives. And I'm no different. It's just the way humans are made, and unfortunately we have this sin nature, but it is not our born-again nature, though. And that born-again nature can overpower that and can overcome this. And it takes practice and it takes love for others. But let's turn in our Bibles now to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture if you're an individual who does struggle with fear in regards to helping other people. Luke 6:38, the Lord says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all it shall be measured to you again." Isn't that amazing? It's amazing passage of Scripture. You know, sometimes in the church today, because of televangelist, we have this phrase about prosperity preachers, those who say, you know, give, you know, the Lord will bless you, and you'll become a millionaire just by giving me $1 million, you know. And they preach this way, and it makes us sick to our stomach. And because of their distortion of their message, it has destroyed in the minds of other Christians the fact that God does indeed bless those who bless others. Otherwise, you're saying what Jesus Christ said right here is nothing. He's lying. Jesus Christ will bless you. It might not be with money. It might be with good relationships. It might be with knowledge in the Word of God. I have no idea how God will bless an individual. But look at this. It's in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Look what it says next, though. Very interesting. Shall men give into your bosom? You see, this is one of the ways that God wants to bless us, through other people. Sometimes you're that other people that God is using to help someone else. Sometimes you're on the receiving end. It's just a circle, or at least it should be. Okay? And I've used an example a million times before about us growing up, and my dad had cancer, and we were poor, 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 right? In a sense, but not really emotionally, right? And I remember mom and dad, even though he wasn't working because he didn't have a job with cancer, money would just come in the mail. And one of the reasons is because my parents have always been faithful believers. I truly believe that. And even out of those, the money that they received, they would give 10% of that back. Now, they couldn't afford to do that, probably. But God kept sending. What did he do? Shall men give into your bosom? And they were blessed, and we were blessed, and it made a big difference in my life. And I bring this up because when we think about the blessings of God, of what he might give to us or how he might bless us, we think about it in the world standards. Have you ever opened up a bag of chips? You open it up, and you're like, where are the chips? It's like, this bag is like this big. It's just all puffed up, you know? You open that up, and it's just all smell. Okay, and you look in there, and you're all disappointed. That's not how God gives. But that's how we tend to give. Now, that is shaken down, right? Pressed, in some cases. You get more chips that way. You press them down, okay? But that's not God. He overflows that bag of chips, and it's pressed down, and it's overflowing, hopefully, into dip. All right? But that is how God blesses. That's how God blesses us. And we forget that. And so we just assume, like, man, if I do help this person, I'm going to be a little tight. And notice that phrase. If I help this person, I'm going to be a little tight. Usually, that means you actually can buy groceries, you can pay your bills, you're fine, but I'll be a little tight. Translation, I can't go to Applebee's tonight, right? That's usually what it means in many cases. And maybe you are in a rough spot, and you might not be able to buy a person groceries for a month, but I bet you could probably make a bowl of soup for them. You could probably make a pot of soup and take it to that person in need. And the blessing that would just come from that would be amazing. You would, in that case, you'd already have one blessing of meeting a need, but also becoming closer to that individual that you just helped. And maybe you'll get the opportunity to share Christ with them, which, by the way, that's a blessing to be able to do that. There's a reason why, you know, I'm parking here for a second, but there's a reason why you'll notice people who tend to help others in the name of Christ, and I don't have all the answers for this, and I promise I'm not a prosperity preacher, but there tends to be individuals who help others a lot in the name of Christ that they're doing okay. It seems like they're doing okay with their finances and/or relationships. And sometimes that starts and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. But you notice the blessing on the Christian's life who blesses others. And I believe that's true to prove the word of God, like in Malachi in regards to giving. You prove that the Lord will take care of your needs. But God will bless in some way. We want to be used of God. That's our main desire. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, or it doesn't matter. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. As stated, there are numerous types of blessings, and one of those blessings is being used of God. That is a blessing, to be used of God. And here's an example of that. Now this lady, I don't know if she received any other blessings or not, but I know one thing, she was blessed in a sense that Christians for centuries have known about her gift. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. As stated, I don't know. I'm pretty sure the Lord took care of her needs after this. I don't think she went home and starved to death, but we're not told in Scripture. But look at the blessing that she has been to the church all these years. Here, this poor woman, no social security in that day. She had two coins and all she had. Now, if she were operating out of fear, she would not have given anything. To be honest, I don't know if I would. If that's all I had, to give that, wow, that's faith. That's faith. We need to pay attention to that. As believers, we are to live by faith and not by sight. Look at this other example. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's turn there. Second Corinthians chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. It says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We are to give. This is a perfect example of this in spite of our circumstances. They desired this. These churches were experiencing some major issues. It was a great trial. This means it wasn't something that was small. They were in deep poverty. And believe it or not, it was partly because of their Christian faith. But this did not hinder them from giving. In fact, they gave in a joyful way. And really, when we think about it, if we've experienced the grace of God, it really shouldn't be that hard for us to be generous people. In whatever way God has called you to be generous. This is the true grace giving. Now, it's very possible to give and not be happy about it, right? We experience that a lot in different ways, whether it's buying groceries or whatever, paying taxes, like I said earlier. We don't want to do that. It's not joyful for us to do that. But when it comes to giving for the cause of Christ, in whatever way that is, that should be out of a joyful spirit. And one reason is because you know that God is going to use that. You know, think about investments. Would you put your money into stocks of something that you knew was going to fail? Like you just knew. You know what I think? You know, maybe some of you have real bad luck, and so it's better to pick something you want to pick. But, you know, so, but you wouldn't just pick something, you know. And I'm not really into stocks, so I don't know what would be good, what wasn't. I remember back in school, we had a class on some of it, and I remember I picked Texas Instruments at the time as one of mine, for only because my calculator had the name on it. So I decided, well, people don't know how to do math anymore, so I'll put money on a calculator, you know. But with Christ, it is always a good investment. There's always a good return. And it might not be a return for you. It might be a return for somebody else. But the fact is that it is always giving glory to God in some fashion. And I guarantee you it will be good for you because Jesus Christ said it would be in some way. You know, we maybe had some rough pastors in the past that say things like, the preacher says I should give until it hurts. And one person said, well, it hurts with just me thinking about giving. You know? And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we should give sacrificially, but with a joyful heart. See, that doesn't hurt. And King David, he said, you know, a sacrifice is not a sacrifice if you're not giving anything. Rough paraphrase. But that's true, right? Can we grace give? Can we sacrificially give if it's really not hurting us? Look at the opposite of the lady, the woman with the two mites. Look at the opposite. They're mentioned for a reason too. What does it say about them? They gave out of their abundance. Translation, this doesn't hurt them one bit. It doesn't hurt them one bit. And if you're going to use like percentages, there might be people that can give 10% and it doesn't even faze them. That's not a sacrificial gift. I'm not saying they're sinning because of that, but I think there needs to be a heart check. Doesn't mean they have to give it to the church either. They could be helping someone else, some other charity, whatever the case may be. But I believe that all of us we're all in different situations. But all of us are commanded to have the same heart. We're to be in one accord in regards to how God views giving and having a generous spirit. Our Savior gave up everything for us. It is our reasonable service to serve Him with every ounce of our being. Another step in being generous is learning to manage and appreciate what God has already given to us. You know, fear is a big hindrance, but so is the managing, and we talked about contentment a little bit, but imagine for a moment a child, you're walking through the grocery store and you're a child, they want a lollipop. This is Caden. I just saw it. He just looked at his mom, so I can use him as an example now. No, I won't, because this could be mean, so I won't. But you have a child they want a lollipop, and they never ask nicely the first time, by the way. I'm just letting you know. But they're like, I want a lollipop. And the parent's like, man, just be quiet. I'm tired of the crying. Here's a lollipop, right? They know how to get it. They take advantage of your weakness. So you give them the lollipop. They take a couple licks. I don't like that flavor. I want a Jolly Rancher. All right, here's a watermelon Jolly Rancher. You know, take a few licks. Wah, I want some bubble gum. Now, by that point, your Child Protective Services is coming your way because you just beat your child. Okay, but we think about that and we're like, well, that is so unappreciative. That child, what a little brat, you know. We think to ourselves. We act the same way as adults. So many of us, we desire after something. We get that something, and then it's not good enough anymore after we have owned it for a while. Just how it works. It doesn't matter what it is. How many TVs have you bought in your lifetime? You know? Now, granted, this whole digital stuff kind of messed with that a little bit, right? Or the digital antennas, right? Or if that is an antenna, I don't know. But anyway, so all this stuff has changed. How many cars have we gotten rid of? Not because they just plain were stuck in the driveway and couldn't move, but just because we wanted something different. Man, am I preaching at myself. You know, but that's how we're wired, right? We always want something else, and we think it's going to make us happy, and then at the end of the day, we do, wham, to God, I want this. If I get this, I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because you are not looking to Christ for your contentment. You're not looking to Him for your peace. You will never... There's not enough temporary fixes to have to make the fix permanent. Only Jesus Christ is the permanent fix. But we want to live a certain way. We want to have a certain lifestyle. So we don't want to give up of ourself to God. That is the wrong mentality. You know, God could take away all your blessings in a moment. Notice what some of the scriptures said, and we came into this world right with nothing. We're not going to take anything with us when we go, but there are treasures in heaven that can be awaiting us. We can lay up treasures there for us to have, the Bible talks about. What will happen if we keep living lives that aren't focused on Jesus Christ and what He has for us? If we keep focusing on that, when we die, when we physically die, as stated, we can't take anything with us. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have any rewards awaiting us either. We'll have the blessing of eternity, of course. And believe me, that will be enough. I'm not going to lie. But won't it be nice to be able to lay down some treasures at the feet of Jesus? Won't it be nice to receive blessings from Him? Well, we can receive blessings here too. Again, why is this such a big deal? Because those of us, as Timothy said, and we talked about it, if we start losing our focus and we focus on the things of the world and we start chasing those dreams, we're going to fall into sin. And in fact, we're already in sin with that desire. You're going to fall into hurtful lust. You're going to worry about your money and you're going to start hoarding it and not giving it because it's a lot nicer to see $1,000 in the savings account than it is $10, right? And so we focus on all of that. It boils down to this. You know, one way we can beat this love of money is simply obey God and become more generous people. This is one way we can do this. Is learning how to give to others in whatever way. And as stated, you might not have money to give, but you do have a shoulder someone can cry on. You can be there for another person. We need to thank God for the blessings He's given to us. You know, a good example of this is, I'm only saying this because I don't know if all of you know this, but do you notice that once a month we take two offerings? Okay? Some of you are like, what? We didn't get enough the first time? Well, let me explain. There's a reason we take the two offerings. It's not so I can have a pizza party or drive a Mercedes. Okay? That offering, that second offering, is for our benevolence fund. That is to help people. The church doesn't take any of that money. It's to help people in need. That's what it's for. Sometimes that's people that attend our church. Sometimes it's for people that don't attend this church. They live in this community. But we do that as an example of how a Christian should be. You know, the church isn't here to build up a big stockpile of money. It is here to give, to help individuals, to be a blessing. We can't help everybody, right? I mean, we can't do that. But when God lays it on our heart to help somebody, then we have the funds that we can do that. And by the way, when I say the funds, I mean, that's from you guys. When you guys give to that second offering, you have no idea through the years how many people you guys have blessed, because I keep a lot of that confidential. As a pastor, I don't really let people know who the person is in need. I don't need any judging going on and that sort of thing. So I keep that confidential usually. But you guys have helped numerous people in our community and in our church because you're willing to give to that fund. That's the act of generosity. But you know what? We don't have to put it in the offering plate, you know, once a month, that second offering, to be generous. We can do that in our day-to-day lives. All of us know people that need help. All of us, we might be the one in need of help. And if someone offers you help, take it. That's God blessing you. Okay, that's hard, isn't it? Someone wants to give you something or help you in some way. Oh, I'm fine. Yep. And we end up ignoring or turning away God's blessing. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for the promises that you will take care of our needs. But not only have you promised to take care of our needs just because we're a child of yours, but when we seek after you, you bless us even more. And when we help others, you bless us even more. It's a life in Christ that can be so full of peace that we just don't take advantage of it, Lord. And Lord, we focus too much on our own selves instead of others. Help us to do that. Help us to live lives of generosity. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.